How to help your audience to remember. Part 1. Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox and this is Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 215. And today this is the first of a three-part series on how to help your audience remember. So you're preaching, you're teaching, but do the people you're speaking to actually remember what you've been talking about? That's such an important part of teaching. We'll kind of come back to that in detail in just a moment, but I should explain, especially for those of you watching the video, the context. You'll see that I'm in a different place to usual. I am, in fact, at my parents' home because I'm helping them with a few things. And I am sitting in my old bedroom. This is where I grew up, my teenage years in particular, and on into my young adult years before I moved away from home. And I'm sitting at the desk, the very desk where I did my A-levels, my O-level revision, my A-level revision, a lot of other study. And I'm delighted to bring you this recording from here because, well, this is a place I learned. And I learned and I remembered many things that I could take into exams and into life. So what an appropriate place to do this. Today we're going to talk about the first part of how to help your audience to remember is to create a learning culture. Create a learning culture in your faith community, your church community, whatever it is, whatever group it is that you have the opportunity to teach. Create a learning culture. And I would say that Jesus did this. This is one of the most amazing things about him. He created a learning culture. People remembered what he taught. Partly it was the brilliance of his teaching, of course, and his life. But there was a bit more to it, I think, than that. Peter says in Acts chapter 11 and verse 16, he says this, I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So he's remembering something that Jesus said, which actually John the Baptist said, but Jesus must have then repeated it. And he says, I remember that. How long ago was that? In Acts 11, that's probably about 7 years after Pentecost. So let's assume Jesus might have said it around that time. It's at least 7 years. Peter remembers specific words of Jesus that he carries through into a new context of the Gentiles getting baptized and becoming Christians and realizes the application of it there and then. Remarkable. And this is what we wish for in our preaching and teaching, that as we teach and preach, people will remember things such that they'll be able to use what they have learned later in other contexts. That's what it's all about. You see, you and I as preachers and teachers are not primarily preachers or teachers, but we are communicators and educators. Communicators and educators. You may say, I'm not a trained educator. That's okay. You don't have to be formally trained, but you are an educator. What's the point in teaching or preaching stuff if it just goes in one ear and out the other? Delights people for 30 minutes, and by the time they get home, they've forgotten it, or by the time next year comes around, it's of no use to them. That's not the point, is it? We're communicators. We inspire, we help, we educate, but we also educate. In other words, people actually learn something. That's the idea. So you and I have a responsibility to help people remember the best that we can. Jesus was very effective at this. Now, I'm thinking about this a lot right now because I don't know why, but on my heart and my mind and my spirit, God's been helping me to think more about what it means to be someone who creates great learning opportunities. Not just, in other words, teaching good material, which needs to be done, but also how to help people learn. I've got a couple of projects coming up, which I'll tell you more about another time, where this is now, but might be even more significant. And I've been reading around this various books, and one in particular has caught my imagination. It's called Make It Stick, and I'll do a full review on that book coming up in what we're reading in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Make It Stick is all about how to help people remember things, and based on a lot of good research, but more on that another time. Today, though, let's talk about how we can help our audience remember by creating a learning culture. Three quick things for this. Number one, if you're going to create a learning culture in your church, in your group, firstly, encourage people to take responsibility for their own learning. Encourage people to take responsibility for their own learning. My learning is my responsibility. I hope preachers and teachers do a good job, but it's my responsibility. This is the culture we want to have. Jesus in Matthew chapter 17 helps with this. Here's some examples. Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum. The collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does. Peter came into the house. Jesus was the first to speak. What does Jesus do? He says, what do you think, Simon? What do you think? He asks him a question. From whom do the kings of the earth collect duties and taxes, from their own children or from others? From others, Peter answered, and the children are exempt. Jesus said to him, there's a Q&A going on here. There's a discussion going on. He's helping Peter to take responsibility for his own learning. What do you think? Again, in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 16, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Peter says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He's testing them. He's asking them, what do you know? What have you learned so far? He's asking them essentially to take responsibility for their own learning. One other time, not with the disciples, but actually with his opponents, in Matthew 9, verses 10 to 13, he's in Matthew's house, tax collectors are there, Pharisees see it. They ask the disciples, why does your teacher eat with these ne'er-do-wells? Jesus says, well, it's not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick. And then he says this to them, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Go and learn. He says, you go and learn. You go and figure it out. It's up to you. You take responsibility for your own learning. So how can we engender this kind of attitude of taking responsibility for one's own learning? Firstly, when you're teaching and preaching, ask open questions. In other words, not yes or no answers. What do you think about this? What is this saying to you? What's revealed to you here? Open-ended questions in your preaching and teaching where you engage with, whether it's a small discussion group or a larger group, you're asking for some response from the people who are listening to you. Ask those open-ended questions. See what people are thinking, not so that you only know what people are thinking, but so that they themselves discover what they're thinking, because as we verbalize things, then we realize what we actually think. That's part of it. Validate all answers. Be sure to tell everybody who gives you an answer, thank you for that. You don't have to have hyperbole with your answer or your response. You don't have to say that's a fantastic answer or that's the best answer I've ever heard. Don't exaggerate for the sake of it, but just say thank you for that. Even if, honestly, the answer is a bit off, not accurate, or doesn't make sense, at least validate the courage of the person that they are discovering what they are learning by answering your question. And so validate that by saying thank you very much. And other phrases similar to that. And also within this point, create space for discovery. And this is why I think interactive sermons have an important place, not every single time, every context, but often. Create that space for discovery, discussion groups, breakout groups, Q&A as part of a sermon, getting audience feedback, if you like. It helps people to feel like they have some part to play in their own education because they have an opportunity to discuss and to and answer questions. So that's our first part of how to create a learning culture. Encourage people to take responsibility for their own learning. Secondly, the second thing we can do, involve as many different kinds of people as possible in the teaching and the learning. Lots of different people involved. One of my favorite phrases, which you hear me say at the end of every one of these, is we learn best when we learn in community. And I really believe that. We learn best when we're connected and working on learning together. Jesus built a learning team. The people around him, the 12 apostles, as well as the rest, the 72 and others, and the women who followed him too, they were a learning team. These were the people who were going to learn and remember the things to pass on to other people. He built a learning team. No wonder the early church learned in community, naturally, surely. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves as a group, as a community, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, out of the fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. They knew that they were meant to be a learning community working together. That was a culture they had. Wonderful thing. We need more of that today, don't we? Paul, of course, traveled with his friends, Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, and many others. And so he had also a learning community. I am really encouraged by my Apollos group, as we call it. Not mine, it's ours, but the six friends of mine, five friends of myself, who meet together and talk about our teaching projects and what we're learning. I find it so helpful, at least once a month, to talk about what I'm learning, to hear what they're learning. Learning together is so important. I like the fact that in the Watford congregation, everybody speaks. At a church service, at least over the period of, say, a month or so, every single member will do something. They'll share, they'll pray, they'll welcome everybody, they'll preach, they'll read, they'll all kinds of things. everybody being involved is so, so important, isn't it? And it creates that sense of learning together, learning culture together. And sometimes we need to be creative with this because not everybody is equally gifted in all the same areas, but short lessons, multi-speaker lessons, testimony sharing, using video clips of people speaking if they're not comfortable speaking live, finding people's passion, what they're excited to talk about. Like Joe Cronier in Watford is a horticulturalist and loves nature. It's every opportunity we get to hear him talk about that, and that the spiritual connections with that is a wonderful thing. Find people's passions and channel using that. Different people in your congregation and your faith community group have different gifts and experiences and perspectives and insights, and we need them all. And it will help us to remember better when we hear from different people. If we're hearing from one person all the time, that's not good. Thirdly, discuss what you are learning outside of the meetings, outside of Sunday services or official programmed teaching sessions. Discuss what you're learning. Talk about it with your friends. Talk about it with each other. It's got to be part of the way we talk, the way that we are in our relationships that creates that learning culture. Learning is a way of life much more than an activity. It's how we live. Jesus was like this. Jesus taught on the hoof as he went along, didn't he? So many times. One example, as they were coming down the mountain in Matthew 17, Jesus instructed them. They were just coming down the mountain. They're walking down the mountain. He decides that's a good opportunity to instruct them. Don't tell anyone what you've seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. He did so much teaching, walking along the road, in a boat, on a mountain, different places. And we need to be talking together about what God is teaching you and I, both through our study of the scriptures and through what we observe of God's activity in our life or in the world, and what God's revealing to us as we spend time in prayer, and what we're learning from God as we listen to one another, talk about what God is doing. Talk about that with each other. We learn so much more, and it gets embedded, and we remember it, because conversations somehow seem to stick, often a lot more than just sitting still and passively hearing somebody else teach. And there's a place for all of it, but this is part of how we make it stick, how we help congregations to remember things, not just to hear them. Very different thing. We're really asking everybody to be professionally curious. I think that's a Christian. A Christian is somebody who's professionally curious. We celebrate curiosity about the ways of God. This is who we are. And as preachers and teachers, we're those who help people to celebrate, to remain and maintain curiosity about the ways of God. That's kind of who we really are. One of the reasons I do my podcasts and videos and things like this is to remind myself about what I'm learning. Somehow doing these helps me remember more of what I've been reading and what I've been experiencing as I share it with you on video, on audio, or however. And of course, it does generate discussion amongst my community, whether it's on the Facebook pages or my website or various places. And so then, hopefully, more people remember things that are helpful to them. So, wrapping up, what are we talking about today? First part of this series, how to help your audience remember. Today, the first part of this, creating a learning culture. We looked at three things: encouraging people to take responsibility for their own learning by asking questions, open questions, validating the answers, and creating space for discovery. Secondly, involving as many different kinds of people as possible in the teaching and the learning opportunities we have. Different people, have different people speak and share. And thirdly, discuss what you're learning outside the meetings. Make it a part of the way of life of your church community. Wrapping up, what Jesus taught was remembered. In fact, they could have written a lot more down, but what he taught was remembered. However, remembering is not automatic. Bear in mind what Peter said in 2 Peter 1. He reminded them of things, even though they already knew what he was telling them. So I will always remind you of these things, he says, even though you know them. Even though you know them, he says, I'm going to remind you. And even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth we now have, well, you're firm, you're strong, you know this stuff, but I'm going to remind you at least one more time. Preachers and teachers of people, if they care about people, are those who continue to remind and help them remember so that when they're gone, they will remember the right things. And that's part of your responsibility, and mine, if we preach and teach. How can you make your learning stick? So my question to you this week is, what is your first step? What is the first step you can take to creating or strengthening the learning culture in your church community. So what's the first step you can take? Maybe you can't change it all overnight. I don't think you can. But what's the first step you could do to either begin to create a learning culture if you don't feel there is one, or to strengthen that learning culture in your own local congregation? What's the first step? And could you please share that with me? Drop me a line, malcolm@malcolmcox.org, or leave a note wherever you hear or see this recording on the YouTube channel, and you can put a comment in there. Or you could contact me via the website, malcolmcox.org. You can leave a voicemail there, or you can drop me a line through a note there. I would really be grateful to know, what is that first step? What are you going to do? And then share with me how it goes. How does that progress? So that's what we're talking about this week. I've got two more coming up, which I'll put out the next 2 weeks on the same kinds of topics, but with some other tips that I hope you'll find useful. Now, let's remember what I said at the beginning, which is that we learn best when we learn in community. So share with me and share with each other what you're learning from this episode of Tuesday Teaching Tips. If you know anybody who might benefit from this, do please pass the link on to them. If you have any questions, send them to me. If you've got any suggestions for future teaching tips, I would love to know. And until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. Take care and God bless.